So I've already cried off all my makeup. At some point, that won't happen, but it's just encouraging. Like, I absolutely love y'all. I love this body. I just feel like really pretty much everything I have here, I feel like has already been spoken. It's just already been just declared. Or I know I didn't tell Mitch this, but I felt like that Craig was supposed to say something this morning, and Mitch was figuring out communion, and he picked Craig, and I just really felt like there was just something that he had, of course, just to impart. So thank you, Craig. Thank you for the youth. I just love speaking on Sundays, too, when we have, I mean, the kids, the dances. I mean, you just can't. It's just such a blessing, and it just so ministers to my heart to see the lives that are up here. And that's why I end up crying, because I look up here and it's like, behold, my sisters, my brothers, my sons, my daughters. It's our family that's up here, those that we prayed for, their children that took years to get here, that we prayed and we believe for, and families up here that we believe for. And it's just such an incredible testimony to me of just the faithfulness of God. And I wanted to start with the scripture, and where's the time? See, I have to have the time. So I laugh. Like, sometimes I try just to preach. Like, I'm not really a preacher. I try to preach and not teach. And this is what happens. I still have like 30 scriptures. So I am a quick reader. So we're going to fly through those. But the word just kept coming up and coming up. And I know that it will accomplish what it's supposed to do. It will move. It will change things. And Isaiah 9, 2 through 4 and 6 through 7, I'm just going to start with that. And this will really build on, I was out with a sick child last week, trying not to spread any of the sickness. So I missed Daniel, but then I called him online. So it is online if anyone wants to listen. And this really does build. It all just builds together. But Isaiah 9, 2 through 4, 6 through 7, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and staff on their shoulders, for the rod of their oppressor as the battle of Midian. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And we just say yes and amen to that. And I just, like, Jesus has changed my life. And when we say there is no one like him, there is no God like our God. He is the only God who chose to become a man, to become human, and to walk among us, to touch the world. I think the most incredible thing is when we're talking about, okay, light to darkness. What does that really mean? When he is a light, and he's a great light that shines in darkness, that casts out, that shatters darkness. Like, what does that mean? And that's just kind of what I've just been meditating on, like, the last couple weeks. And it's just amazing, because Jesus came and, like, he didn't avoid darkness. He didn't ignore darkness. He came and he touched and he walked among us and he addressed it and he gave and became the answer to darkness. And so he comes into a world that is filled with horrific, terrible, sad. All of us experienced the pain, the suffering, the darkness that is part of this world, that's part of this life, that's part of the evil that is here. And he came in, and he came close. And just some of these things that just hit me, and I'll read it out of here, or I'm going to mess it up. But so Jesus chose, number one, he chose. So just hear that, because this is the quote that just hit me, because he chose because of his love. And for love to exist, freedom has to exist. Love has to be freely offered to be real. Love has to be freely offered to be real. There's this place of choice. And so he chose to come close to us, to be God with us. He came to walk with us, to share humanity with us, to touch our lives, even physically touch our lives. Even now, as Craig was talking about his presence, who he is, he draws near to deliver us from darkness. He faces darkness. And so God became man. You know, what does that look like for the light of the world to shine on darkness, to shatter darkness, to overcome darkness? And when Jesus brings light into darkness, things happen. Things shift, and that calling, like Daniel was talking about last week, it gets birthed in us, and the light burns within us. And John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And I think that's just really important. The life was the light. And you see Jesus coming in, and what he does is he does the divine exchange where death is met on and life is brought about, and victory, eternal life, is brought about. John 8:12, then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And Luke 1:79, all these are up here, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so all these statements just started hitting me, and the scriptures that go with them. So I'm going to try to run through these. And this is really about his light disperses darkness. And so the first one, hopelessness is swallowed up by hope. Doubt is consumed by faith. Even before, when Jesus is in the womb, things start shifting. And so you have Elizabeth and Zachariah. It's supposed to be Zacharias. I always do this wrong. And it's interesting. Elizabeth's name, her name means oath of God. And Zacharias, his name means the Lord remembers. And so you have this period of time. I'm not a historian, but there's, from what I read, there's been 400 years of waiting. So you have this prophecy in Malachi, the last scripture that I read, that says, and the spirit of Elijah will come, and he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And then you have this 400 years of waiting. And you see Elizabeth and Zacharias. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias, the division of whatever. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. And from what I've read, advanced in years definitely means over the age of 60. They really don't know what that is. But what you see is you see Elizabeth and Zacharias, and they, like, he comes and touches. So John the Baptist is placed within Elizabeth's womb, and you have this place of hopelessness is swallowed up by hope, and any doubt is consumed by faith in the lives of Elizabeth and Zacharias. And the waiting, gosh, the waiting, like he touches them in that place of waiting. If you look at Simeon, and there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So this man was waiting his whole life. And in that moment, when he touches the baby, Jesus Christ, hopelessness is swallowed up with hope. And maybe there wasn't hope, but that might be my thing. But I'm thinking, why? Waiting all your life, you have to battle with hopelessness. There has to be that doubt that will come in, and doubt is consumed by faith. And then you have Anna, a prophetess, who was advanced in her years, and she was a widow at the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayer. And so you see, I mean, just they're individuals, and Jesus changes. He touches them. Even Elizabeth, she touches Mary, and Jesus is in her womb, and the baby leaps within her. So Jesus, he's already changing and touching lives, and he's hitting places of darkness, and he's bringing light. And look at Mary. Once again, a teenage girl. See, all my teenage girls, they left the thing. But a teenage girl from a humble family, chosen by God, spoken to by angels. She's the first, from what I can read, to hear the name of Jesus. A teenage girl. And then the shepherds, lowly outcasts, the poor of society, look down upon. The angels appear to them, and they are the first, once again, not a historian, but from what I know, they're the first to arrive to worship Jesus, to touch him, and the light changes them. And that's where the lowly and the outcast are given worth, value, and honor. And it's just this place where Jesus, he comes in and he touches the individual. Like he touches where they're at. And he changes. He reaches to those places, and he changes it. And I was thinking about my little ornament. And I don't, Tina's in here, and Cora's not here, is she? But I just couldn't shake. I've had a conversation with them, and I think about their women and moms that they touch weekly. And they're advocates to speak into them. Those that society tells them they're shamed, they're failures, they're addicts. And they come in and they start speaking light and life. And they stand beside these women. I'm just telling you, like, that is what it looks like for us to walk and to walk with the light of Christ. And I just see the passion where they're just hours and hours, they're in frustrating and hard circumstances, all kinds of things. I mean, and they're working with these women and loving them and fighting for them to live and for their families to live. And that is what I'm talking about. That's what Jesus comes and he touches the one, the individual, the Mary, the Elizabeth, the Zacharias, the Simeon, the Anna. So the lowly and the outcast are given worth, value, and honor. That's what light is in the darkness. Light does to darkness. Shame and hiding lifts. Confidence is restored. The unclean are made clean, and the one is given value. Luke 8:43, and a lot of these examples I've heard, but Luke 8:43 through 48, and a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone, any woman in this room is thinking, 12 years, I can't even imagine, like, came up behind him, and number one, she's not even supposed to be there. Like, she's not supposed to touch anyone, because if she touched them, they would be unclean. No one wanted to touch her. She couldn't touch anyone else. And so she came up behind him. She's hiding. She's hiding. She's trying to stay so people don't see her, and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, because there must have been a whole lot of people touching him or around him, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing on you." Because Jesus is the one. Like, he recognized the one. And when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched them and how she'd been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." I mean, how powerful. Daughter. And you know what? She touched him. But instead of him being made unclean, he put life. Life overtook her. So this place of where Jesus came and touched, and life was imparted. Light was imparted. And I mean, that he changed her identity. Daughter, no hiding in shame. You're not unclean. I have made you clean, and you have value to me. I recognize your value, my daughter. Sickness is healed. Loneliness meets family. Once again, Luke 5, 12 through 13. These examples, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you look at how Jesus operated, you have seen who the Father is, who our Father is. He said, "I do nothing but the Father's will." This is the Father's will. This is the Father's will. Luke 5, 12 through 13, while he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And he stretched out his hand, and he touched a man that probably had not been touched in, we don't even know when. He's ostracized. He couldn't be around anyone. Like, people didn't want to touch him because they could get leprosy. Body parts falling off. I mean, probably what he looked like in appearance made people just wouldn't even want to be around him. I don't know when the last time he had a hug, where he was actually greeted, where someone actually spent time with him. And Jesus touched him, and he was healed. And so, once again, so loneliness meets family. Sickness is healed. This man's life was changed. The dead are raised. Poor become rich. Luke 7, 12 through 15. Now, as he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the son of his mother. The only son of his mother. And she was a widow. So this is a widow, and this is her only son. Her only son. And a sizable crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her. And he said to her, "Do not weep." And he came up, and he touched death. And the bearers came to a halt, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. So the dead are raised. Poor become rich. This woman, that was the last of what she had, her son. And so poor become rich. Sins are forgiven. Captives are freed. And judgment is conquered by mercy. John 8, 4 through 12. And they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say?" And they were saying this, testing him so that he might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. We all want to know what that was. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman where she was in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "And I do not condemn you either. Go from now on, sin no more." Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, this is the verse that directly follows this, and I love it. "I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Sins are forgiven. Like there's a calling to everyone around him about forgiveness. Captives are freed. She was freed from bondage. And judgment is conquered by mercy. The Son of God did not, what did he say? He did not condemn her, and there was mercy. And then he said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me, do what I'm doing, will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Suffering, abandonment, rejection, betrayal, sickness are shared. Grief is carried. Punishment and accusations are taken. Sin is paid for. Love conquers death, and eternal life conquers death. So not only did he walk among us, but Isaiah 53, and this is where, gosh, we're talk about light scattering darkness. He not only came here, but he suffered what we suffer. He was abandoned, he was rejected, he was betrayed, and he was sickness and disease fell on him on the cross. He carried our grief, punishment, and accusations he took on the cross. He paid for our sin. Love through this conquers all fear, and eternal life conquers death. Isaiah 53, 1 through 12, "He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed." The chastising for our well-being, we are healed. "But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors." And so he comes in and is light. He carries, he suffers, he carries our suffering, our abandonment, our rejection, our betrayal, our sicknesses, our grief. He's punished for us. He's accused for us, and he pays for our sin so that we could have eternal life. And that is what light does to darkness. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 58. "But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then we will come about the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." I mean, what? Death has lost its sting. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified. Forgiveness, inheritance. And 2 Timothy 1:10, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel brings light. And then the last part is captives are freed, orphans, slaves become chosen sons and daughters. Strangers become mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, sisters, brothers. Cursing is replaced by blessing. Selfish lives are given up freely for others. And enemies are loved. And it's really this call, and Daniel really hit on this last week, a calling to walk in the light and to walk as lights. I'm not sure if I probably know that's not up here, but yeah, so captives are free. And really this, well, I'm just going to read this and then I'll kind of finish. But for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. So we are captives that have been freed and we have become chosen sons and daughters. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than would lay down his life for his friends. And so once again, this place of, gosh, like, even as I read these, like, have I received that? Because really, as I receive, that is what I will give and what I will impart. And he has all of this for us to receive. So this place of laying life down for someone else. These are some of those things that I think are probably some of the biggest miracles that I ever see. That you could love your enemies and that you could lay your life down. Like you could choose to lay your life down for someone else. Like that transforms a world. For me to be able to go to someone that I don't even know, or the one that comes against me, and to be able to love them, to be able to lay my life down for them. It's just, to me, it's just one of the most amazing, amazing things. And it will, that love from him, that light will shift and change our world. Luke 6:27-43, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you and in return. And so once again, I just love how that scripture that I've heard so many times, the give and it will be given to you, they will pour into your lap a good measure. It has to do with loving your enemies, blessing those who curse you, praying for those who mistreat you. I mean, what? Like being merciful, not judging and not condemning. It's just this beautiful picture of how we have received, we pour out, and in it will be poured back unto us. Ephesians 5:8, for you were formerly of darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. We are chosen by God to be his children, his sons and daughters, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And hey, I've got 2 minutes. I am really bad about like performing for time. I get really frustrated with myself if I don't get that exactly right. Maybe I have an issue there. But anyway, I just really felt like there's just this call, and then y'all might have a response that, but gosh, it's just this place of touching the one. Like, that's what I'm like, the one thing that I've asked of the Lord is to be able to value every person I encounter as precious and loved and made in the image of the Most High God. And that's how Jesus operated. He recognized the one. He valued just the one. He went after just the one. And yeah, and so I just encourage y'all. And I really feel like, too, like there's just this place of like, of love, too. Like our freedom and our choice to love. And that's what real love is when we freely offer up, just as Jesus freely offered up his life for us, freely offered, chose it. He chose to come here, and he chose to walk in all of this to reach the one, to change my life, to redeem me out of darkness. So yeah, so you got something, Ben? Yeah, I'm done.
Amen. Can we clap for that? I just want to invite the worship team to come and the prayer teams to come now, if they can. Wow. You know, everyone in the Bible and all those examples that Leah just gave us needed the real Jesus, right? Does anyone else need the real Jesus? You know, I need the real Jesus. And, you know, Val had a word this morning about disappointment and feeling like, you know, it's December 2017. You know, God, I thought you would have shown up by now. And George came and shared a word with us about resurrection life. And I didn't know and understand how it fit. But then the Lord started speaking to me about Lazarus. And I felt like for some of us, there's been this cry that Mary of Bethany had when Lazarus died. And she was like, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died, you know? It's December 2017. Jesus, if you had come sooner by now, you know, things would have been better. We would have had more time. The promises would have come. And I feel like Jesus is here today, the real Jesus. If you want the real Jesus, guys, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He lives. He is the resurrected Lord of glory, and he is alive today. And I feel like he's saying, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. So I just want to welcome you this morning. The worship team's going to lead us. But if you need the real Jesus, look, Danielle and I, we need the real Jesus. If we want children, I got nothing else. I need Jesus Christ. I need the Son of God. I need a miracle in my physical body. And I know there are people here that need the real Jesus. They need the Lord of glory and they need a miracle. But guys, he said, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. So just would you stand with me? God, we just come before you. God, we just say we have to have the real Jesus. We need Jesus Christ. And God, we just say, God, you've put the resurrection power in each one of us. So guys, I just want to welcome, just invite you to come forward. The prayer team is going to just lay hands on you and pray for you and speak to whatever it is, those promises that are asleep that we thought have died. And we're just going to speak to those things and say, Lazarus, come forth. Let the promises of God that are dormant, that are sleeping, we say, awaken and arise and come forth in Jesus' name. We lay hold of the eternal life to which we were called. We lay hold of the promises of God in Jesus' name.
I just want to also just encourage you, these words just go right along with last week and this week, because Leah just gave us a whole rendition of recognizing Jesus in all of who he is and all of his glory, the real Jesus, the declaration of what Ben's declaring. But the second part of what Daniel told us last week is you got to respond. There has to be a response in that, to be able to then receive and then to be able to walk in that reward. And so I want to pray that as well, as a follow-up and just agreement with Ben. Lord, there's a place to respond this morning, and I just encourage you, just step out right now. Just step up, step out, come and say yes to life, say yes to the real Jesus. And so, Lord, I just pray right now in Jesus' name. We just declare, just even as Ben was very vulnerable up here and said, I need a miracle, Lord, if we're going to have kids. And so, Lord, some of us have other things in this life. Either maybe we need a response in our physical body to walk or to run or to live, Lord, whatever that looks like for each person, Lord. Maybe there's a place of your family. You know you need a miracle of God. You need the light of the world to respond in such a way that, Lord, if you don't have that, Lord, you're not sure where that's going to land you. And so, Lord, we just pray right now in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the glory. We respond this morning. We respond by giving you glory. We give you, Lord, even as Leah was declaring, Lord, I just wanted to stand up and say yes. Yes, we say yes to those things. We say yes to the brokenhearted, Lord, getting free. We say yes to the lame man walking. We say yes to the leper getting cleansed, Lord. We say yes to the woman that was in hemorrhaging for 12 years to be free. God, yes to those things, but yes to the things that are before us. Yes to the things in 2017 that we haven't seen yet that we still have some time to see. So we say yes to those things. Amen? Say yes to those things. And we speak it. Janelle, can you just lead this in that? We give you all the glory, just that declaration this morning. Janelle's gonna keep playing. I just encourage you hello? Oh, there we go. Just as Janelle continues to play and just declare this over us, and I'm just going to release you, but there's just such a call this morning. Like, Ben just declared it. Like, there's a real Jesus. Leah in her message declared, there's a real Jesus. And I love it. I love the Isaiah passage. And I just want to kind of speak this. And as we end, just Isaiah was a declarer of Jesus being the light. And he's here this morning to do some things. And I love this. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen on you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon you. And his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. And then down in verse 20, I love this. Your sun will no longer, 19, no longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light and your God for your glory. Your sun will not set, nor your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and the days of your mourning are over. just felt like that the Lord was on the sea. The days of mourning are over. Like, just be able to declare the things that Leah declared this morning into your spirit, your life. All it was just all, a lot of scripture and life that Jesus gave. And so, Lord, I just want to pray that over us, God, this week, God, as we continue just the celebration that you are the light. I just praise you and thank you that I just speak that as a prophetic word. The days of mourning are over, Lord, that the light of the gospel, Lord, the light of your name, God, will come forth and shine brightly, Lord, that we would not need the sun and the moon to lighten our lives anymore, that the light of the gospel, the light of your goodness this morning will fill us up, overflowing, God, and be the light so that we may be the light as well of the world. Lord, you call us to that. Lord, that we would be lights in this world. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the word this morning. We thank you that we can receive it. Lord, that we recognize you, that we recognize you as this, the God, this real Jesus, Lord, that comes to give life and life abundantly. God, we recognize that. We receive it. God, we want to respond and receive, God, all that you have for us this morning. So, Lord, we thank you, Father, for this morning. We thank you for just being the light in our lives, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. What you got this morning is in relationship, Tulia was sharing. This is something you can share with people, giving them an invitation. Next Sunday, we'll kind of have our Christmas celebration. There'll be more dances, some more things going on next week. It'll be a celebration. So come back next week to join us. This morning, if you haven't responded and you need to, just come and stand on the laminate. One of us will come pray for you. Amen? Have an awesome week. Bless you guys.